much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you even listening to our story?
Yes.
Well, listen to this. We have a story to tell. So listen.
Okay.
And write it down.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Really bad. Really very, very bad. Very, very, oh God, really deeply. Oh, I want to go back in time to before I did that.
Did I get a woo-woo?
Not at all.
Why are you the worst?
If I tell you, you'll be doing it.
I need a chill on drinking.
Oh my God, do I have to?
That's just not true.
I am naughty.
I don't know why that had to be brought in.
And now.
The nightmare continues. The nightmare continues.
Our feature presentation.
Why would you ever try, can I get a woo-woo?
I don't know.
Why would that come to your head and then you go, yes, sometimes, I'm going to deliver this and the peeps are going to go crazy.
Yeah, yeah. What's the old expression about how your reach exceeds your grasp or whatever, however that one goes? That was one of those. I thought I could pull it off. I thought I was that cool. And I was attempting a complicated high dive into a pool, which I was in no way qualified.
And you ended up doing a backflip.
Totally belly flop. Yes,
belly flop. Term,
yes. So it was a fail. Yeah, I admit that.
That was great. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning. It's the 8th of August.
Why do women not want to work with us anymore? What's happening?
I think
now?
You could take away the word anymore.
And women, too, by the way. You could dissect every part of that sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to have all sorts of ladies on the show.
Right.
And then Chip moved to South Dakota.
Chip's playing with her band. She'll be back.
Yeah, right. And then Christine, who the hell knows what's going on with her? She's just not here, not showing
She's
up.
Sick.
Right?
She'll be back as well.
And then the new one. What's
Allie?
Allie, yeah. Where the hell? What's that deal?
She's
Where's she now?
Got a migraine. She'll be back. It's all good. It's all good.
Sounds like a lot of excuses to me. It sounds like a lot of the ladies are getting together in the lunchroom and going, "Hey, you know what? We're going to bring the patriarchy down." Is what it sounds like to me.
Hmm.
I feel like this is some sort of organized labor action is what's happening, and they're on strike.
You can't just accept that there are people who are sick and getting better, and will return.
It feels like something's going on, and I think you're just too blind to see it, or just don't want to.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Okay,
conspiracy, man.
I mean, that's possible, but not very.
Plan.
Not very.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about this. We have a very big show today, and obviously, you know, people are either heartbroken or elated over the outcome of The Bachelorette last night, so we'll be talking about that. We got that coming up. But a big show today. But I have to ask first. You don't go in the ocean as much as you used to back in the day, right?
Right.
You used to be big into going into the water.
Yeah, I still love it, but not as often.
You just don't get a chance to do it as much
right.
anymore. Is there ever any concern? Are you one of those people who's ever thought, you know what? There's a lot of things in the ocean that are dangerous. There's the stinging jellyfish, and God, you know, especially this last couple of years, there's sharks. Are you one of those people who think the ocean is vast and the chances of any of those things getting anywhere near me
are
infinitesimal?
I'm a what are the chances guy. So if I go out in the ocean, I think, yeah, okay, there's sharks, but what are the chances there's going to be one right where I am?
I mean, that's, you know, the numbers back you up. What's the worldwide number of people who get bit by sharks? You know, it's a handful, you know, and millions of people in the water. So I get that. So I'm thinking about all that. And then I see this story out of Melbourne, Australia. And I'm sure you saw it. It was big news yesterday about this kid, this 16-year-old kid who got viciously attacked by a creature I have never even heard of before.
Oh, no.
The sea flea. Do you know about the sea fleas?
No, I've never heard of the sea fleas.
Neither have I. It's a lysianacid, and I know I'm pronouncing that wrong, lysianacid amphipod.
Yeah.
Hell yes. It is a type of scavenging crustacean. So here's what happened. This 16-year-old boy, his name is Sam Kennesag. He lives in Melbourne, Australia. He had been playing soccer with his friends. And you know, bad things always happen to you when you get involved with soccer.
Sure.
So after the game, he was tired. He thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to go stand in the ocean for a little while and because I have these muscles that are a little bit sore. It'll be soothing to have the water, you know, makes sense. Just I walked out of the water. I saw what I thought was sand covering my ankles below my calf, so I shook it and it came off. But that wasn't sand. Then he noticed that his legs were bleeding profusely.
Oh, my God.
He hobbled home quickly. He called his dad, who was inside the house, and said, "Dad, you better come outside." So dad comes out, and they discovered thousands of tiny bites on his legs. It looked like he had been pricked with a pin repeatedly. "We thought we'd better clean off this bit of blood, and then we realized it wasn't washing away," said the boy's mom, Jane Canizze. "There was no stopping the bleeding. We took him immediately to the hospital. Doctors attempted to stem the flow of blood, but it continued to run from the many pinhole-sized bites on his feet and legs."
Wow.
His pain was up to an 8 out of 10, his father said. Hospital staff were baffled by the injury. So here's what the dad did. This is amazing that a father would even think of this and then do it. He put on 2 wetsuits. He went to the spot in the ocean where his son had been bit. And he used some raw meat to lure the sea fleas into a pool net. And then he brought up and collected thousands of these little sea fleas, these little mites about 2 millimeters long, and put a video up on YouTube. They, on these bits of meat, they've sucked the blood out and they remain attached to the flesh. I mean, these are like little piranhas,
man,
or something like that.
That one doesn't really have the that's that you're looking for.
No, it doesn't. Here's the craziest thing about the bite of the sea flea. Their bite contains an anticoagulant, which makes it impossible to stop the flow of blood. No. Completely
nope.
Out.
Okay.
However, they are not poisonous. The damage will not be lasting, and the boy is expected to recover. So if you're one of those people who thinks like Kevin does, like, yeah, what are the chances? And something, now there's more stuff in the ocean that you have to worry about dodging when you go into the water. This picture, though, I mean, it's like he got bit by hundreds of mosquitoes all in one spot. You know what I mean? And
man,
they say he didn't feel the biting because the water was cold, you know, and he wasn't aware of it until he stepped out and then saw all the blood. So that's a real-life horror movie right there, you guys. Look out for the sea fleas. All right. I think we've covered it. That's all. That's the end of that story.
But look out.
We're done now.
But look out for the sea fleas.
We covered that. We're fine now.
So look out. That's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
We have to like him. It's been decided. There's no getting around it.
We've got a brand new internet roundup for you. We have What's Up with Florida? Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour this morning, we have, I don't know if you've seen this video. There's a BBC reporter who just hates his job. He couldn't be more miserable because he has to cover dog surfing championships.
Well,
and that's beneath him.
He did not get into journalism to cover wacky dogs on surfboards.
Right, but most of the time, news anchors can just try to wing it and try to act mm-hmm. happy. They fake it.
Mm-hmm.
Not this dude.
Are you reading something into all of the sighs?
Yeah, well, yes. I'm reading into
and all
him
of the,
sighing a lot.
All of the staring at the desk.
It's the best. Poor bastard. And like Bean said, last night was the finale of The Bachelorette. 3 hours, and we've got your Bachelorette report again at 7:30 this morning with Ralph and Petros Papadakis. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Great. How you doing, man?
Good 3 hours or bad 3 hours last night, or a little bit of both?
It's always good. It's always good when the Bachelor or Bachelorette's
it?
On.
Okay. All right.
It's not to
was
enjoy.
There love? There was love?
There's love. There's tears. There's laughter. The arts. Everything. Everything was there.
As a great man once said.
That's right.
All right. It is 5:52 Tuesday morning. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Love is gone, though, apparently.
Uh-oh.
Between Elon Musk and Amber Heard.
How did that not work out?
I have no idea. He's got all the money. She's got all the looks. Right?
Right.
He's got the looks. She's got the looks. He's got the money.
I wondered if you were going for the Pet Shop Boys. It sounds like
I wasn't until it came out, and I was like, "Yeah, I remember that. I remember
it didn't
that.
Sound just like it."
Yeah, apparently they called it quit. Look, she's real busy filming Aquaman in Australia, while he's busy all the time changing the world. They just their schedules just didn't allow them to develop the relationship the way most of us would. So sadly, you know, if I was Elon Musk, I would have made the time. I would have carved out some time.
Same,
a little
for
less,
Amber. Yeah,
a little less. Hydrofoils or whatever he's working on these days, and a little more amber. If she's in Australia filming, I'm in Australia watching her film, driving her back to the hotel at the end of her filming day. And I'm not worried about electric cars so much.
I hope she got a complimentary Tesla Model 3 as a parting gift, though,
I'm
if they
sure,
broke up.
I'm sure she's on the list, the top of the list. You know, he invented the Tesla automobile, Kevin. The electric car, the Tesla.
I heard that.
Elon Musk did it.
Yeah, I heard that.
Not Nikola Tesla.
Well, who would ever say something like that?
That's
ridiculous.
Some people, I think, would get confused, although it's named after him as an homage to the early pioneer of electric motors.
But no one would ever think that he actually created it.
Some people did.
That's
some people
ridiculous.
Think that a scientist from the early 1900s actually may have created the electric car. Some people would think that.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who, of course, came up with the Tesla automobile, and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That is weird.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So weird. Why would some idiot do that?
I don't know.
Why did they make a rap for that guy?
And that idiot said it twice in that little clip.
Really, Kevin?
Right?
Really? Really?
Right?
Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla car?
Right?
Really? Really?
Just saying that.
Nope.
It's not the case.
Right.
Hey, you know what? Legendarily, the musical Hair. You guys know the rock musical Hair?
Sure.
Give me a
Broadway sensation of the early 70s.
Long, beautiful hair.
Never seen that.
No?
I'm aware of it, but I've never seen it.
It's
yeah.
a great film version, if you ever want to check it out, starring Treat Williams.
I'm good.
No?
No.
Mm. 1967 was when it debuted, and it shocked audiences when the entire cast, traditionally in the performance of Hair, gets completely naked on stage. And they dance around, being all hippie.
And a lot of hair.
And whatnot. A lot of hair. Yeah. Not just on their heads. A lot of hair.
Yeah.
Well, the UK is doing a revival of that performance in London. The Hair is coming back. And they're going a step further.
A step further?
Yes. Yes, the cast will, as is tradition, get completely naked on stage at what point during the production. But the London revival is asking the audience to do the same. They will have a clothing optional performance on November 11th. So you can watch the entire show in the nude.
Is that something that people have been clamoring for?
Maybe some people would like to commune with the cast and be equally as nude as they are. The management will hold your clothes. So you arrive clothed, you disrobe, you give them your clothes, they'll hold them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a complimentary towel to sit on in the seat.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Has anyone spilled any? The high C or some juju bees or something there and made it sticky.
Right.
Already naked.
Yeah.
Yes, if you're already naked, this is for you.
It is. That's true.
And Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes apparently still going strong. They're a very happy couple with two beautiful daughters, Esmeralda and Amada. And the two of them, Ryan and Eva, recently spent a very romantic day together and night at Disneyland.
Can you imagine trying to go to Disneyland as Ryan Gosling?
But here's what I question.
And Eva Mendes.
They rode the Haunted Mansion, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Small World, all the traditional rides. And then they splurged on some goodies for their daughters, Esmeralda and Amada, to take home and give to them when they got home.
The kids were not with them at Disneyland?
The kids were not with them. They were enjoying Disneyland without the kids. What is up with that? What kind of dick are you as a parent if you're going to Disneyland and you left the kids at home with the nanny?
What kind of now, dick are you?
There are tons of adults who love to go to Disneyland.
Don't like get me started.
Dave, for instance.
On the pass
but
holes.
If you are an adult who has a kid, go ahead and take the kid.
How
with
do
I
you?
Agree.
How do you not?
How do you shortchange the kid on the day at Disneyland so you can go and enjoy without that pain in the ass child?
maybe they had gone recently with the kid. Maybe they had just taken the kid. They thought, you know what?
If
it'd be fun to come back here and do it
again. If you're going to Disneyland and you have kids, the kid goes with you.
I mean, I feel like that's a given.
That's never okay to leave your kid out of the Disneyland experience.
Well, Disneyland's not really for kids. You know
I will never allow that to be the case. Why am I talking like Cosby? Look, go to Vegas. I can understand there's lots of places where you don't want your kids to be there.
But Disneyland is not one of them.
It's not one of them.
No, it isn't.
It's like cheating on your kid.
Are there photos
I'm
going to
go get some hot sex outside of the relationship and leave you behind? That's kid sex. The kid is missing out on kid sex.
Well, I don't like the term that you're using, but are there any pictures of them stopping off at Chuck E. Cheese on the way home, does it say?
A nice slice of pie and a little ticket munching.
Right? Again, ticket munching and kid sex in the same report. No, thank you.
Munching some tickets. Oh, it's so satisfying. Munch your tickets. I spent the past weekend with my child and my wife at the Great Wolf Lodge. You familiar with the Great Wolf Lodge?
I'm not. No.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, we've been there. Sucka. We've been there before. That's the big hotel down there by Disneyland, right?
It's a big hotel / water park.
Mm-hmm.
It's an indoor water park with giant water slides and pools and things for the kids. There's a bowling alley and an indoor miniature golf course.
And you went without?
We went without the kid. No, we went with the kid.
Oh, I see.
The kid had the greatest time in the world, but I would not go there with my wife for a romantic weekend and not bring the kid.
But I think Disneyland does have that group of people who like to go as adults.
They need to be ended. Fire must cleanse us.
But if you have kids, it certainly seems like.
But the reason I bring it up is because we were at the arcade and crushed it.
Did you?
Oh, so much ticket munching was going on. So much.
Did you spend like $10,000 for a little eraser?
No, but
traded
not
it for
far
a little
off.
Plastic ring.
We got a plasma lamp. You ever see a plasma lamp?
I don't think so.
It's a decoration. It's a decorative lamp, but it's you turn it on, it goes. And you see, like, all these arcs, little electrical arcs inside.
Oh,
if you
okay.
touch,
yeah,
on,
I know
the, you touch on the outside, it becomes attracted to your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the big prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it home.
Elon Musk invent that, too?
Got it home, lasted a day.
Those are crap.
Oh.
Those are good days.
Those are straight crap.
That was a good day, though. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dustin Hoffman is 80 years old today.
Wow.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic.
Yeah, definitely 80. Yeah. Uh-oh. Prostate enlarged. Uh-oh. The Edge is 56 years old today. J.C. Chazay. Wait, now, which boy band was he from? NSYNC?
NSYNC.
NSYNCer? He's 41 years old. Actress Megan Good is 36. Yeah, she is.
Right.
And singer Shawn Mendes celebrates 19 years on the planet. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks to that song, are we not allowed to hate the Chainsmokers anymore? We pretty much have to accept that sometimes they make good songs?
I believe so, yeah.
Did you
hate Closer?
I didn't mind Closer.
Yeah,
I like that one. I love Halsey too. But there were a bunch of other songs that were just like, come on with that, right? Hey, political correctness gone amok coming up at 7:00. A crazy story out of Oregon that you will not believe. Plus next hour as well, it's the Bachelorette Report with Ralph and Petrus. And keep listening for your chance to win tickets to see the Killers at Staples Center on February 1st and get a chance for that grand prize drawing, which is just amazing, where you essentially get to join the band. I mean, you're doing everything but going on the road with them if you win this thing. Yeah. So anyway, all that coming up here on K-Rock. First though, how about this? What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! Bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
It's been another great couple of weeks down in America's penis. By the way, I forgot to tell you this off the air, Kevin, but I was putting my What's Up with Florida together over the weekend, and I went to a Twitter account that does Florida news. I think it's not Florida Man, the famous one. It's another one called FLA Updates or FLA News Updates or something like that.
Right.
I am blocked on that page.
They blocked your account?
They blocked me. They do not want me to see their page. Now, I have no idea why.
Is it a private page?
No. It's not. It's public. I've never had any interaction with them before. They've never tweeted me. I've never tweeted them. They just blocked me. And I'm wondering is it just Florida pride or something? Like, because I do this segment on the show, they don't want me to be any part of that? What do you think that's about?
The fact that you've had no interaction with them tells me that it's...
None!
Well, it must be a mistake or they're doing the right thing without knowing why. You know?
They just hate what's up with Florida, I guess. All right, here's the story to get us started. This is a 73-year-old man named Richard Basaraba, and I'm a little bit surprised by this. I guess they have a rule down there in Florida at Daytona Beach that you're not allowed to solicit. So I guess the point of this story is not what he was soliciting. It's that you're not allowed to do any kind of advertising down there.
Okay.
All right? What he was doing, again, 73 years old, is walking up and down the beach and handing out business cards to attractive young beachgoers that said, "Sugar Daddy seeking his sugar baby." A 16-year-old girl told officials that Mr. Basaraba handed her 18-year-old friend a card on Saturday that featured a picture of a young woman sitting on an older man's lap with his email address.
Oh, dear Lord.
I guess you're 73, you're alone, you got a ton of money. What do you have to lose by just going to advertising, I guess?
I guess.
But he'll just take his business somewhere else, but the police said it's that you're not allowed to solicit on the beach. So they told him, scram. But how's that for an approach, by the way, for an old man?
It seems creepy as hell.
Police received an unusual complaint Sunday morning when a self-described drug dealer from Florida said he wanted to file a police report after someone allegedly stole his cocaine. Yes, that's what he called the police about. David Blackman, 32, said a person entered his car and robbed him of $50 and about a quarter ounce of cocaine. What are you thinking when you make that call?
I don't know, but this seems to happen every couple of months. You read a story about somebody who feels they got ripped off in a drug deal, and they call the police. It makes no sense.
After arriving at the scene, deputies with the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office were able to confirm the items reported missing seemed to be missing from where Blackman said he put them. Fortunately, however, deputies were able to help the man locate a second bag of cocaine that he had stashed in the center console of his car.
That's great news.
It was at this point that they arrested him and read him his rights. In addition to the cocaine baggie, deputies reported finding a crack pipe and crack rock inside the vehicle. Again, remember, this guy wasn't arrested until he called the police and had them go over and investigate his complaint. He was arrested and charged with resisting an officer, possessing drug paraphernalia, and possessing cocaine, released on $4,000 bond. Police in Fort Pierce, Florida, doing an undercover sting operation trying to get prostitutes off the street. When a cop parked his car on the street, a woman got into his car. He's undercover, remember. She gets into her car and introduces herself as a million-dollar hoe. That's what she goes by.
A million-dollar hoe. That's her name?
That's what she says. That's how she identifies herself. Hey, baby, I'm the million-dollar hoe. Although her price was not exactly that high, $40, and I'll give you anything you want because you're the first one today. Now, I never want to think about that aspect of this arrangement at all. You're the first one today, so I'm giving you a deal. The officer says
I'd rather be the first one than the last one, though.
Yes, you would. The officer says she provided a free sample exposing herself to him. Then Deborah Thomas, 49, was arrested. This is her seventh prostitution-related arrest. When she was arrested 4 months ago, she was only asking for $20. Now she's asking for $40, which I guess was inflation because of all of her legal fees.
Times are good in Florida.
It sounds like it, yeah. Kevin, you're going to love this little kid. He is a 10-year-old boy just arrested for the fourth time in 6 weeks for doing what?
A 10-year-old?
He's 10 years old, his fourth time in 6 weeks arrested for doing what?
He said, I'm going to love it, so I'm going to guess it has something to do with fire.
Oh, that's a great guess. No, I'm sorry to mislead you. Stealing cars. He's 10.
Well, I wanted to do horror stuff for my friend.
Yeah, that's exactly what he wanted to do. He even looks like a 10-year-old. When we seized the latest car he had stolen, the driver's seat was pushed up to the steering wheel. Police, by the way, say that this is, they don't see a lot of 10-year-olds, but they have seen more than they used to. They're catching them all over town.
Wow.
They think it's becoming a trend. like, he was hanging out with some older boys, 15, 16 years old, which is unusual, you know, for that. Usually 15-year-olds don't want to have anything to do with 10-year-olds, right? In this case, that was the gang that he was rolling with. But this most recent time he was arrested for stealing one on his own.
I want to do it because it's fun. It's fun to do bad things.
Right. And finally, a man in Florida City heard a big bang on his roof Sunday morning, but it was not thunder. To Travis Adair's surprise, a 15-pound bag of meat, frozen pork to be specific, landed on the roof of his Deerfield Beach home that he shares with his family. It fell from the sky. It had to. It was too heavy to throw on the roof, he said. His wife went outside and found two other bundles of pork next to the house. His son Austin climbed up on the roof, and there were three bundles of pork.
What's happening?
The home
it's
is
raining
near three,
pork.
It is raining pork, yes. The home is near three airports, so it is thought that the pork must have fallen from a plane. There was a package label on the meat that connected it to Jim Williams of Miaka City, Florida, about 170 miles away. He said that he had bought some pigs at a county fair. He kept much of the meat, gave some away, but had no idea how any of it would have ended up on a plane, and certainly not how it would have ended up on a roof. He was not involved in that at all. He's not a pilot. He doesn't own a plane. Didn't put any meat on a plane. So why did all this meat fall on this guy's house? By the way, this is not the first time something like this has happened. In 2012, pieces of raw chicken fell from the sky and landed on a guy on a horseback riding lesson in Virginia. So it's a little bit of a surprise when meat starts falling from the sky. You don't expect that to see. But also, nothing surprises you when you ask the question, what's up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
So is this going to be another edition of People Are Dumb? Is that what I'm about to find out here?
I mean, I feel like yes. I wish no, but I feel like yes.
What's going on with this new highway safety study?
They are talking about people who wear seatbelts in the front seat versus people who wear seatbelts in the back seat.
A new survey reveals more than a quarter of adults admit that they don't always buckle up in the back seat. Research by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety found that 91% of adults say they always wear their seatbelt in the front seat, but only 72% are as diligent in the rear.
All right, let me stop you there. Is that because you're less at risk for going through a windshield if you're sitting in the back seat? People feel like they're somewhat protected because you've got the front seat in front of you instead of glass.
I would guess. I don't know. I had a really bad car accident where I flipped my car three times and I had my seatbelt on and I feel like it saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
And if I take an Uber, about half of 50-50.
No.
Yeah, I wear it sometimes. Sometimes I don't.
How did both of those sentences just come out of your mouth next to each other?
I don't know. Maybe it's that you feel safer in the back seat. I hadn't really thought of it before this.
The seatbelt saved my life guy.
Yes.
And then the next sentence out of your mouth is, I'm about 50-50 and wearing seatbelts in the back seat. That's weird. Yes.
Mark Smiga says he never buckles up in the back of a cab, a place especially prone to people riding unbelted. The survey by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety shows just 57% of passengers buckle up in higher vehicles like taxis.
It's absolutely not even part of my consciousness.
When we asked people why they were less likely to buckle up, a quarter of the respondents told us that it's safer in the back seat, so they don't need to buckle up. Even if you're in the back seat, the laws of physics are not suspended.
What?
You still need to buckle up in order to get the best protection in a crash.
Every state but New Hampshire.
Let me also throw this out there because when I'm in an Uber or more rarely a taxi, I notice sometimes that the seatbelt in the back seat is jammed down in the seat.
Right,
you got to go down there and dig for it sometimes.
Yeah, they're used to people not using it, I guess.
Which would suggest that they're not getting any use because if the guy before me had used the seatbelt, it would be easily available. So sometimes it's kind of – maybe that's part of it also is when you're driving, you're in your own car and you know where everything is and you know it works and whatnot. You get in somebody else's car, you don't know. It's harder to put on a seatbelt. Maybe that's what people are just being lazy or they're thinking, I'm only going to be in this car for 11 minutes. It's not like I'm driving across country. What are the chances? You know, maybe they're rationalizing it themselves, maybe even subconsciously. I don't know.
Maybe with taxis, the only place I go in a taxi basically is New York City. Maybe you're just going 11 blocks or you don't think you're going to get up to 70 miles an hour or whatever. You know, if you're only going 20, I don't know that I've ever put a seatbelt on in a taxi.
Wow.
I don't know why. I guess I'm the bad example in this story.
Every state but New Hampshire requires adults to wear seatbelts while sitting in the front, but 21 states have no such requirements for grown-ups in the back seat.
Now, what is that about?
That's
they don't
weird.
Even have laws that you're supposed to wear the safety belt in the back seat.
That is a little bit of a surprise because I guarantee in California today, somebody will get killed being in the back seat of a car during an auto accident.
As more and more people are using ride hailing services and those people are not buckling up at the same rate, we could see more people getting injured and killed in the back seat.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying I should go ahead and buckle up.
I mean, I feel like the evidence suggests that there's a lot more upside to put on a seatbelt than there is downside at this point. And
right.
I don't know. That's been news for like the last 50 years. So, yeah, go ahead and buckle up, Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock. Yes, it is.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What?
You seem like the grown-up in the group. Where are you on putting your seatbelt on in the back of a taxi or an Uber?
Nah.
Really? You too, huh?
Really?
You're fine.
But wait a minute. That makes you on my side.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by Kevin
Trust me, I don't want to be there. Is that where you want to be? Kevin admits that a
seatbelt saved his life, so I would expect that he would be the first person to buckle up when he gets in a vehicle.
I gotta go through a seat and the dude who's driving the Uber before anything really happens to me? I'm fine. It's like a human airbag.
But seriously.
He's a human airbag.
But seriously. Like,
you can still
get
thrown from the back of a car, though.
Where am I being thrown to? Where am I going?
The street.
Wow. I'm going to somehow navigate my way past the front seat and the driver and then go through the windshield.
The top of the car gets ripped off.
Uh-huh.
And then you're just catapulted out into the
air. It hits the ejector seat.
Right.
Come on.
Haven't you seen Transformers? It happens all the time.
Come on.
So Ralph and Kevin say don't buckle up, kids.
No, I say you probably should.
I say I absolutely buckle up.
I'm saying I'm an idiot.
I'm saying
and
I
Ralph
don't.
Is also an idiot.
Yeah, it makes my wife crazy. Because she's like, click. She buckles herself in before she gets in the car somehow. I'm not quite sure how she does it. But she'll get in the back seat of an Uber and click, and she'll look at me and give me the side eye, and then the stink eye, and then the full-blown laser eye.
And even that, with that pressure, you're like,
put luck, do it! And I'm like, ugh. I begrudgingly do it.
Such an effort.
That's pointless.
It's a lot of work.
It's
not a belt. Pointless.
No point in seatbelts. Think of all the years people drove around without seatbelts. They were fine.
Right? The ones that live, yes. The ones that survived are fine, right.
Right.
All right, 6:52, Tuesday morning. Huge hour coming up. The recap of last night's Bachelorette finale with Ralph and Petrus. First, though, let's see what else is going on in showbiz.
It's fine. but I kid. Definitely click it or tick it or lick it or whatever.
I think it is lick it or tick it, yeah.
But I don't buckle up in the backseat as often as I should.
Do you feel
it's
like
my bad.
Okay, but you feel like
that
you should.
Me. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And yet I always do it in the front seat. Isn't that odd?
That's the same with me.
Hmm. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
Now that I talk about it out loud.
It makes no sense. When you say it yourself, you sound like an idiot.
Yep.
So welcome to my world.
Oh, great. Hey, let's hear it for Quantasia Sharpton, shall we?
Right.
Quantasia.
Come on, everyone.
Quantasia Sharpton.
Woo!
My new favorite name. Quantasia has sued Usher for not giving her herpes. Which I think is sort of interesting.
For what?
What?
Yesterday the story they were saying they are suing Usher?
She is. She came forward with her attorney, Lisa Bloom, celebrity attorney, had a big announcement yesterday. And she announced that she is suing Usher for not telling her that he had herpes, genital herpes, before their sexual encounter. However, here's the thing. She has been tested, and she does not have genital herpes. She has not contracted genital herpes.
But he still didn't tell her, and he could have given it to her. That's her argument, right?
Right. She says she still feels violated, but she did not contract genital herpes from Usher.
It seems like that's the thing that would have caused her to file the lawsuit, is if she had gotten it from him.
Oh, yeah. You would think.
Right.
Right. But she did not.
Hmm.
So I'm saying, how much money is, what could have happened worth? How much money do you give the person? You know what? Kevin could have robbed me at gunpoint at some point in our working relationship.
Right, but I haven't.
But he hasn't, but he could have.
But
and
he,
that
if
makes,
he did, though.
That makes me nervous that the possible that he could have. So I would like him to pay me some money because he might have.
That's an odd lawsuit.
Kevin gave, he gives everybody herpes.
Good, right?
I don't think that's the point.
Yeah, Lisa Bloom is also representing two other people who have chosen not to be identified. Another woman and a dude.
But I've got herpes in my butt.
So, just saying.
Later this morning, how does that conversation go?
Yeah, let's talk about let's talk about STIs in general, but specifically herpes, which is one of the more common, and what conversations need to be had. Because this whole thing is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Have you had the flu or a cold or cancer or any other a list of illnesses, you wouldn't feel nearly as ashamed and reticent about exposing that fact to someone else.
Yeah, true.
That you were going to sleep with.
Yeah, don't shake my hand. I've had a cold. Don't kiss me. I've got a cold sore or whatever.
It is.
Yeah, right.
But the shame involving STIs, sexually transmitted infections, is stupid. It needs to end. It's ridiculous.
Would you say it's as dumb as people who don't wear the seatbelt in the back seat?
Dumber.
Okay, dumber.
Well, maybe not. Maybe the seatbelt thing is dumber. Here's the weird thing too about Quantasia Sharpton.
Her name is Quantasia?
No, that's not the weirdest thing.
Oh.
Before she launched her her lawsuit, she did say on Twitter, enjoying my last couple of hours as a regular girl, before she went public with her her lawsuit, and also tweeted, I need some money.
She tweeted that?
Yeah.
She tweeted, I need some money.
That was her tweet. And then she filed the lawsuit.
Hmm.
So
hmm.
once again... She's not doing herself any favors.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Again, if I am a juror, I don't know how much money I give to somebody who tells me, no, I'm fine, but what if, right? I would say, you're right, here's $100.
Technically, she's right. He still needed to.
He was in the wrong. And by the way, we're not even sure. He's never confirmed the fact that he does have herpes.
Right.
Now, they know that he... allegedly settled a lawsuit with another person for $1.1 million over the same issue. So it seems likely, if that's the case, that he does. But still, I don't know.
How bummed is she that she doesn't have herpes, right? Help her lawsuit.
Sentence you don't expect to ever hear.
Really, if that's your goal, is to cash in.
If you need money.
It does hurt you. Right. You'd make more money if you had it, quite frankly. But I think if that's me and I slept with somebody who I didn't know had a sexually transmitted infection, and I come out unscathed, then I'm like lucky back to my life, right?
I would think so, yeah. But you also didn't just tweet that you want some money.
That's true. Well, maybe there's other ways to make money. You know, another way to make money is the world of fashion. As you know, I think everybody eventually at some point in their lifetime will have a clothing line. Kenan Thompson just announced his clothing line. Smile Parade is the name of his collection.
Smile Parade.
It's going to be a lifestyle label that produces hoodies, tees, and hats emblazoned with cartoon animals wearing clothes.
Okay.
That'll make you smile. Matthew McConaughey has announced his new clothing line.
Is it called All Right, All Right, All Right?
It's exactly what it's called.
No, it isn't.
It's exactly what it's called. He has partnered with Represent, a merchandising and marketing platform company that will create custom apparel with featuring All Right, All Right, All Right t-shirts.
I was trying to make a stupid joke.
And hats.
Wow. I've seen the pictures of him wearing his All Right, All Right, All Right t-shirt, and he sells those, right?
Yeah. Huh. All the proceeds in this case will go to the actor's Just Keep Living Foundation, which works to provide high school students with fitness, nutrition, and wellness programs.
All right, all right, all right.
And Chris Brown's 3-year-old daughter, Royalty, is releasing her clothing line for kids.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Now you've gone too far.
Hold up.
I was with you for the last two.
Royalty Brown, who's 3 years old, is releasing her clothing line for kids.
She designed it and sew it herself?
Well, it's personalized by the preschooler. Kevin, you'll be happy to know. She's creating a wardrobe for the fun, energetic kid with the outgoing personality. Says the clothing line, so you can get something designed by the 3-year-old daughter of Chris Brown, and then you go right to hell
if anyone buys that.
And I don't even get into the new swastika clothing line.
I'm sorry,
that was That was ill-advised.
Yeah. KA Designs announced yesterday they're putting into production a collection of T-shirts and sweatshirts with rainbow swastikas, paired with words like Zen, love, and peace. They claim they're taking back the symbol. Hey, you know what? You can't take that
yeah,
back.
I feel like that symbol's pretty firmly
that's
gone.
That's entrenched. Yeah, that's good. We really enjoy the swastika, they said.
What is wrong with them?
Not because of any meanings associated with it, because of the shape and how it looks.
Wow.
So we end up using the symbol with the aim of sharing its opposite values, love, peace, and freedom, with the swastika.
You have your head up your ass.
Yeah.
That's too far a climb, you guys.
You think?
You think? I do.
They're
going to
be overcome? They'll be able to overcome the whole Nazi thing?
Eventually,
we'll forget the Nazis used swastikas. We'll just think rainbows and peace and love.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't know. You'll see.
Okay.
There's a 3-year-old Nazi who's also releasing a line of clothing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dustin Hoffman's 80. Son of a bitch. Looks great.
He does, yeah.
He sure does.
Hate him. I hate him for his goodness.
Bean, you want to live to be 100. What does it make you think when you see a guy like that that's 80?
Looks better than you now.
I mean, looks better than you 10 years ago.
It's very encouraging that you can still be that healthy and vital and alive.
He can be. Not you, though.
But he's a human. He represents my species, so I feel like if he can do it, that's more good news for me.
Brad Pitt's also human. Do you think there's some correlation between you and Brad Pitt?
I'm not sure he's human, by the way.
The Edge is 56 years old today.
Jason. I think I look as good as The Edge.
You don't.
Okay.
There's no one whose name we're going to say today that you look better than.
Okay.
J.C. Chazé is 41. Megan Good is 36. And Shawn Mendes is 19 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, speaking of Jack White, just listening to him there, in the studio right now working on a new record. I'm so excited. You know, he's my favorite. Dude's a genius.
He is.
Love him so much. All right. Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the hour you've been waiting for a breakdown of last night's thrilling Bachelorette 3-hour finale. Ralph and Petros will be up later on this hour. First, though, Kevin, I sold this as political correctness gone amok. Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, there were some schools in Portland that were named to honor pioneering berry farmers Patrick and Catherine Lynch. And apparently they donated a bunch of land to build schools. So they named the schools after the family.
All right.
So they have Lynch View and Lynch Meadows and Lynch Wood. Their grade school, middle school, and high school.
Fair enough. Seems like a nice tribute to the family that gives you the land to build the school. Sure.
Right. But they're now changing the names of all three schools because the word Lynch is reminding people of what used to happen back in the racist days of the 1880s through like the 1930s or even later. It has nothing to do with the family anymore. Now it's lynching what that word means. But so they're changing all three school names.
But hold up. It doesn't have anything to do with lynching. These names weren't come up with for these schools as a tribute to people who used to hang black people from trees.
Right. It was the family that donated the land.
Right. Their name was Lynch.
Right. Right.
So
there's Lynch View, Lynch Wood, and Lynch Meadows, and now they're just apparently going to be View, Wood, Meadows, and they're taking the word Lynch off of it because it has a negative connotation, Bean.
Thanks, Obama, first of all. And second of all, how about those little kids who go to View Elementary School? What? Although, once you get to junior high and you're going to Wood, now you're talking, right? All right. I'm confused by this. I do not understand the rationale. It just seems ridiculous. We asked Dave, is there anyone in Oregon we can talk to? And I believe Clark Morgan is on the line. He is the superintendent for the Centennial School District where all this is happening in Oregon. And maybe he can help us understand what's going on. Mr. Morgan, thank you so much for coming on today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm very confused. This nice family gives the school district all this land to build their schools. Mm-hmm. Why not keep their names on the schools as a tribute to them?
Well, you have to recognize that between 1882 and 1968, there were more than 4,700 lynches.
Okay.
That took place in the United States.
A
bruised eye on the face of America, and it was a horrible time in this nation's history. And I think we need to honor that by taking that name that word out of our schools.
Okay, I agree with the first half of your sentence. It's a shameful chapter in American history, but this doesn't have anything to do with that. The guy's name was lit. That was just his last name.
What?
Sorry. Go ahead.
You don't want me to say the L word?
If you would refrain, I'd appreciate that.
Were there people who complained about this?
Not per se.
Not per se. Were there people that complained or not?
Well, define complained.
They said, "Hey, I'm offended by the name of that school."
We have no record of anyone saying that exactly. No,
you're just being all Oregon-y, huh?
Well, I'm sorry. What happened?
I'm not positive with that.
You're being all Oregon-y. You're living in Portlandia up there, and everything's got to be to the nth degree politically correct.
Well, it's just Lynch. It hurts just to say it.
Right, but it's Patrick and Catherine Lynch. It's a family last name. And they donated the land.
Clark, yeah. Clark, are you...
You would. Meadows, they're all nice words, and that's where they'll be going to in school. And we're not stopping there. We got a lot of changes coming up here in Portland.
Oh, I think
it's going to help things a lot. There's a Lyndon Baines Johnson High School downtown that will be changing the name to Lyndon Baines President Guy.
But his name...
We're taking the Johnson out of it because that's another word for penis.
Right, but again, that's a name.
It's just his name, though. It didn't have anything to do with the penis.
It is a name.
But is it?
Yes, it is.
But is it really?
It's very much a name.
Or is it about a penis?
The president's name was Johnson. It didn't have anything to do with his junk.
That hurts. There'll be no more dead-end streets in Portland.
Okay.
Because the end makes us think of butts.
What?
The end part of dead-end makes us think of rear ends.
Okay, but some streets just end, so you can't connect to another street when you drive down them. That's good information for the people in your city.
But stuff is is disturbing to us.
Okay.
There's a Chinese family in town called the Wangs. We're asking them to leave.
Well, okay.
It makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
It's just the name.
Go over to the Wang House. You don't want to go over to the Wang House.
It doesn't hurt anybody. They're not doing anything wrong. It's just their last name.
We're asking the Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory here, the restaurant, to change their name. Because we got a lot of short people in this town, and they think shrimp is offensive.
Really?
So we're asking them to change the name of the Bubba Gump Sea Roaches.
And that's not offensive? That sounds good to you, Clark?
Well, no, it doesn't sound appetizing, but it doesn't offend anyone, at least.
My own name,
Clark Morgan. Clark Morgan, I'm asking now, please, to call me just Clar.
Clar?
Yeah,
Clar, why?
Taking the K out of Morgan, or Clark, rather.
Why?
Because if you add two more Ks, then it's Clark KKK Morgan.
Right, but no one's adding two more.
Yeah.
I just simply can't take that chance.
Okay.
It's just a letter.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Right. It's the world-famous K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:23, about 10 minutes away from the Bachelorette Report, the final one for this season.
I know, and now we're going to have to survive an entire Monday with no Bachelor-related programming on because we have to wait a week after next Monday for the BIP to come back.
Oh, I thought it was coming back next Monday.
Oh, is it?
I'm not sure.
Not a week off? There's no break?
I'm not positive.
Oh, I thought we had a dry Monday. All right.
I'm not positive.
I know you don't watch the news because you're a kid, Kevin,
right.
But if more news were like BBC News presenter Simon McCoy, I think you would. I love this clip.
I do, too.
I love this clip so much for multiple reasons, not the least of which is anyone who's ever been lucky enough to be in broadcasting has had to talk about something they either didn't care about or strongly disliked. And usually... it kind of goes with the gig that you buck up. You know, you're just a professional.
Just
do what needs to be done, right? Simon McCoy has been in his job too long, apparently, because he just can't do it. So it's one of those silly, like, end-of-the-news stories that you see on every newscast around the world, and he just doesn't want to have anything to do with it because, I don't know, what's your guess? I mean, we're reading so much into this little 30 seconds of tape, but I just feel like he feels like he is a professional journalist, and this is beneath him.
He's way above this, and he lets you know that with all of his sighs and just his rolling of the eyes. He has to cover the dog surfing championships, and he is deeply unhappy about it. Listen to this.
Now, you're watching BBC News. Just bear in mind it is August.
All right, so just everybody just heads up. It's August,
in other words,
so there's not a lot of big news.
Yeah, slow news. And by the way, I get the impression that before this broadcast, he went to every producer in the chain of command and said, look, I'm not doing the effing dog story.
Right.
And they're like, Simon, The people love watching dogs frolic in the surf. You're going to do the story, and you're going to like it. So it just under protest, he's going to introduce this video.
Now, you're watching BBC News. Just bear in mind, it is August. This does not look like a walk in the park. Dog owners and...
Now he starts reading it like a robot. Like, he's not going to fake it, right? He's going to he's gonna let you know, by the way he reads the story, that it's a horrible story.
This does not look like a walk in the park. Dog owners and their pets in California have hit the waves.
And by the way, even the derision in his voice, in California, of course, hit the waves.
Hit the waves.
In the second annual World Dog Surfing Championships. Here are the pictures.
Here are the pictures. That's how he sets up the clip. So it's a video clip, and they do show a little bit of video of a guy talking about how great this is, and they do show some video of dogs on surfboards.
And let me just say this. Every newscaster did the World Dog Surfing Championship. And who doesn't love watching cute dogs frolic in the surf? I mean, it's
Simon McCoy from the BBC.
Apparently, yes. But, I mean, it's a type of story that makes so many people happy. Yes. Is there hard news going on that you could be doing? Yes. But it's 20 seconds, Simon, that makes people happy during your newscast. Just enjoy watching the dogs surf.
I put up the video on my Twitter, which is at the Kevin Ryder with a Y. And here he continues.
In the second annual World Dog Surfing Championships. Here are the pictures.
Here are the pictures. Watch this, and then I'll talk some more.
There's also style. There's confidence. There's the size of the wave. Because some events have really big waves. Some have very small waves.
Now, I'm sure that this interview doesn't help him. Because this interview is another one of those where we're always fascinated, especially by Channel 4 in Southern California, how they will not waste a single interview. Mm-hmm. Sometimes interviews are terrible.
Yes, there's no need to put that guy on TV because he's not saying anything to illuminate the story.
What he's saying is sometimes there are big waves and sometimes there are small waves. And that just continues to anger this anchor.
There's a lot of style and techniques. It's really interesting.
Comes back to him.
Think of-
Look.
If there were a cyanide capsule on the desk,
yeah,
he would take it. He put it in his mouth and bite.
The competitor's main challenge is to stay afloat on the board. This is in Pacifica near San Francisco. But there are also prizes for the best dressed and tandem surfing dogs.
he's losing the will to live with every second. It's just insanity. I've never heard this.
They must send him to cover the entire event
right?
next year.
If I was that guy's boss, I would say, you're going on location. You're going to do the entire show from there.
But there are also prizes for the best dressed and tandem surfing dogs. The winner, of course, being crowned top dog. That's a shame. We've run out of pitches.
Oh. He sounds like, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like one of these hostages in North Korea that is being forced to read an anti-American statement to the video back home.
That's pretty sweet. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with the Bachelorette Report next. Hi.
I'm not going to lie. I don't watch The Bachelorette, but I have been but I have been so excited for this segment because all I know is seeing the heartbreak on social media last night, seeing how many people were disappointed with what went down last night. And I can't wait to hear from you guys, the experts who have been following every second of it all season long. It's time for the Bachelorette Report. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he loves the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
With Petra's Papa Dick, he's always watching it.
Yeah.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets.
It's the report on the Bachelorette.
Ow!
Let's bring in your segment co-host from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports. Our old friend, the old P, joins us back on the show. How are you, Petros?
Good morning. How are you? Good morning. Good morning. Heartbreak for everybody. I love it.
I'm so sad, P. This journey has ended for us. Although Rachel claims she has found love, I can't help but be a little crestfallen by her choice.
Yeah, it's not going to continue the journey. It's over.
Here's the thing. She was great. She was great. She was a great bachelorette. Don't you agree?
I think she tried her best, but I think her choices in the end, it just did not add up to a great television show.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for. So once all the conflict left, and this happens, but this was really bad this year, the whole thing just came to a screeching lead balloon halt. And this relationship... it's not going to make it through the press tour. I mean, they're going to break up on Good Morning America, like, right now.
Here's what happened. She was with Peter, and Peter, famously for the entire run of the show, has been holding back and hesitant because he just cannot commit to proposing to someone he's only known for 9 weeks.
Which is the only person that makes sense on the show.
But as Rachel later on, we'll talk about this later on, as Rachel points out, this may not be the show for him then, if that's the case.
But the there's been people that don't get engaged in the past.
Yeah, but the premise of the show pretty much is you're supposed to find the person that supposedly you're going to spend the rest of your life with at the end of the show.
Right, but that's a stupid premise,
but
right?
But you know that going in, right? That's what you're signing up for.
Agreed.
But we were at a very stubborn crossroads forever.
Yes.
Like, for 3 hours.
They were really at a loggerhead because she kept saying, I want to be engaged to be married at the end of this process. And he kept saying, I want to go further with the relationship, but I need more time before I can get engaged.
Haven't known you that well yet, right?
So this was this is the conflict of their points of view that seemed insurmountable. And also, Peter didn't really believe that maybe she was as in love with him as he was with her until she cried her eyes out, and that made him feel so much better.
That has advanced me. A long ways, just so you know.
Me crying?
Yes.
I was fighting it so hard.
You keep doing it really does.
Don't fight it. Cry more. I love when you cry.
Love can make you cry in sadness and frustration.
That is a weird comment.
Why is he so thrilled that she's so upset?
He got some emotion from her, Ralph.
But
he didn't know that she was emotionally invested in the same way he was. They've only known each other for 2 months, and she's been making out, and that's what's wrong with her. My God, the way she makes out with these guys.
But Peter's
like eating a veal chop.
Peter's just a dark bummer. He's just, no wonder she didn't want to be with him. He's just relentlessly bummer.
But
what was he? What was
Dallas? This woman's father is a federal judge. What is she thinking? Why is she ring grabbing?
That's a good point.
I have to ask both of you guys, why were the ladies on social media last night so in love with Peter? Every one of them was like, I'll take him. I love Peter.
My wife thinks he's dreamy beyond words. They think he's just great.
What's his appeal, Ralph, that Rachel missed?
He's a good-looking fella. And as Kevin pointed out, he's reasonable. He's a guy who seems to be thinking about things in a realistic way that seems to charm a lot of people because he's not a bonehead.
He's the only guy that sort of seemed like he didn't want to just get a ring immediately because it's a TV competition.
Correct.
Game.
It's a life choice.
Right.
You know, you could have either done what? Had a real relationship with the gap tooth guy that owns a business or go on a press tour with the Colombian with cheek implants.
Now, speaking of Brian, our Colombian cheek implanted suitor, he has the date after Peter's. And Peter is so deep now in Rachel's head that she can't even enjoy herself when she's around Brian, and he notices.
Today was a little rough. Just, I don't know. Just awkward. Felt that she wasn't all there. I really don't know how else to describe it. Today maybe didn't go all the way as I planned.
Yeah, because you planned to go all the way, didn't you? You Colombian Lothario. Then it's the rose ceremony. It's time to say goodbye to Eric, Brian, or Peter, and I think sadly we all saw this one coming, didn't we, P? Eric did not make the cut.
Vander Blue is going to be the NBA MVP next year if this guy gets the ring.
Yeah, poor Eric got cut loose, and I think to add insult to injury, he was asked to leave, but she sat him down. You know, there's that long walk to the limo before they go home where she explains herself, and she hit him with that old cliche, which is just hard to hear at any time.
It is important to understand that I do love you. It's just not, I'm not in love.
Oh, ouch, ouch. That's the worst.
Better than that.
Not, I love you, but I'm not in love with you.
Not even sure what that means.
I was 15.
Right. Yep. So now it's between Brian and Peter, right? So Peter and Rachel go on another date where they get to hang out in a monastery with a monk. And they're so torn about this schism between the two of them that they ask the monk for some advice. How do we bridge this gap in what we want in our relationship?
If you have a monk available,
use the monk, right? They're wise. They're wise. They know lots of things. God speaks through them.
Right. So use the monk.
Use the monk.
What do you think about being married?
I think marriage is one of the biggest and most important steps in a person's life.
Mm.
And it's something that is meant to be between two people that truly love each other and want to prove that love in the ultimate way.
It's very important not to give importance to those things that they are not important.
I don't understand. What...
Thanks a lot, Padre.
What is he talking about?
It's like talking to Kevin in a monk's robe. It's important not to give importance to things that aren't important. Really? I came all this way to this monastery for that advice?
Well, what, I mean, what about Ryan's definition of marriage, or Brian with a Y? Hey, I think it's a big step. Really? I mean, of course. I mean, I can't.
He's over it.
Well,
he's over it.
You can't Rachel it. And Peter are so far apart that they actually say goodbye. They break up before the final rose ceremony.
They didn't even break up, though. He didn't even say goodbye.
He kind of said, I wish you the best.
They just made out, and then it was over.
Then she did walk out the door, but they never saw each other again after that.
Did you guys get the feeling that she 100% wanted him to be her choice?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She wanted him, and there was a whole argument. We don't have time for it, but he was like, okay, maybe tomorrow I'll ask you to be my wife. And she's like, no, because then you're just doing it because I'm making you doing it. I don't want you to do what I want. I want you to want to do what I want. I'm like, oh, my Lord.
The monk is very tense and uncomfortable.
It was 3 hours of that back and forth. But Peter left, so there was no real choice at the final rose. All that was left was Brian. They were going to be together, and I think it was really wonderful at the end. They were on top of a mountain that had hurricane gale force winds blowing past them. To the point where you couldn't hear what they were saying. It was the most meaningless.
Like they were on the bow of a ship.
It was the most meaningless proposal ever because no one could hear each other. It was talk about bombs going off, I think. I couldn't quite make it out. See if you can.
I just don't think, like,
I'm sorry. This is bad. This is Rachel talking to Peter about his time on The Bachelor before we get to the final ceremony.
Okay.
I just don't think, like, this world, this process, this journey, this show, like, I just don't think, like, it's for you.
Yeah, she's got a point. It's not for Peter.
Agreed.
Because he's a reasonable person and he doesn't want to be forced into a marriage.
Isn't it about people falling in love?
That's supposed to be.
No, it's about getting engaged.
Yeah, for some. It was for Rachel. Anyway, she got her wish. She got engaged. Here is Brian with a Y, the Colombian chiropractor and avid dominoes player.
And gigolo.
Giving her the obligatory proposal at the end of the show.
My first step out of that limo.
You're the wind.
I knew I was in the ride of my life. When we first kissed.
Yeah.
It was literally like a chemistry bomb.
A chemistry
just
bomb?
Exploded.
What?
And I just knew that first night.
What happened?
100% certainty in my heart that are everything
what?
I could ever want in a woman.
Is that a ring?
A wife. My children.
I can't figure out what he's saying. What? Is he promoting?
Totally, absolutely in love with you.
Is that a yes?
Yeah. Ralph, I'm sorry. Omar accidentally loaded a clip from Dunkirk.
No, that was our finale on top of the windswept mountains of Spain, where she finally got her ring and they get them together. And Chris sat him down on the couch, and they're wildly in love. P.
It seemed very awkward, completely stale, totally cliched, just like everything that comes out of Brian's mouth. It was terrible, everybody was very upset.
You both think that they've already broken up?
I think that Rachel is sort of deluding herself into thinking this is a real relationship. I think she'll be in it. I think, though, that Brian is likely to see a girl in a bikini someplace in Miami and walk away from her.
Yeah, true.
Like, while she's there.
Yeah, while he's walking with Rachel. Yes.
His mother is going to meet her dad, the federal judge, and it's over.
So it sounds like the season that you guys basically enjoyed kind of ended in a whimper.
Well, look, she didn't have she didn't have three great choices at the end. I think that's really what cost us this particular season. There were some great guys early on, but the ones that ended up at the end of the show, I don't think anybody really had any rooting interest for anybody.
All right. It ended in a long, horrible, stinking fart.
I was another way to put it. Disappointed as P, but hey, P, you know, next week
the bip.
The bip.
Now it's coming back Monday or a week from Monday.
August 14th,
that's
Monday.
This
August
coming Monday.
14th is the Bachelor in Paradise. We get to see Corinne and DeMario go at it in the jacuzzi, and the lawyers come in, and I think there's a gunfight.
I'm not positive there's a gunfight.
There's broadswords and shields come out.
Yeah, and there's an intermission. Everybody gets sent to Houston for a deposition, and then they come back.
Right.
Well, thank you for another great season of commentary on the Bachelorette Report, so we'll see you next week for the BIP. Thanks, boys.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Our new feature, Herpes Talk, coming up right after the top of the hour. Very much looking forward to that. Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup next hour for you. And don't forget, still giving away those tickets to see The Killers at Staples Center. Ralph is here now. Showbiz beat time. What's going on?
You guys fans of the Lucy show, I Love Lucy? You guys watch the I Love Lucy show?
I don't watch it. That might be a surprise to you.
I mean, I appreciate its place in television history. It's not something I ever need to see again, though.
No. It's, in terms of comedy, it has not aged well. Largely because it's sort of the premise is just repeated over and over and over again. It's the wacky wife, and she wants to be in her husband's show, and she's got the next door neighbors, and it's just, at the time, it was fresh and interesting and funny, and she's a talented lady. There's no way around it. But for me, the show has not held up. It's hard for me to watch now because those tropes have just been used so many times.
Yeah, it's not Lucy's fault that they were first. It's just we've seen it all a million times since then, right?
Yeah. However, the comedy legend that is Lucille Ball, I find her story fascinating.
I don't know her story.
She came out of movies, basically, where she was a glamour girl and not allowed really to be funny. Then had some success on radio with a version of this same show that she ended up doing on television. They got the TV deal, wanted to use her real-life husband, who was a Cuban. And everyone said, no, you can't put a Cuban on television. It has to be a white dude. And she stood her ground. And pretty much between the two of them, they invented the modern situation comedy. They were the first people to use three cameras to shoot. They had a live audience for the first time ever. In terms of television comedy.
Was she one of the first females to be the lead in a show?
Yes, absolutely. And she was the controlling force behind that show. And she started her own studio, which led to television programs like Mission Impossible and Star Trek. And she was the first sort of female head of a television production company. Great story. And all the time dealing with the fact that her husband, Desi Arnaz, was just cheating on her flagrantly in front of her face all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So anyway, her story I always thought was interesting, and now Amazon has announced they're doing a movie that will be airing on Amazon Prime about the life and legend of Lucille Ball, starring Cate Blanchett as Lucille Ball.
That's great casting.
Pretty good casting. I think she will be terrific in that role. Aaron Sorkin has written the script.
Come on.
Seriously.
Come on.
Two for two. They're still looking for actors to play Lucy's husband, Desi.
That's Kevin.
Oh, it'd be great.
Kevin has Desi Arnaz, are you kidding me?
Lucy, you got some explaining to do. You'd have some explaining.
Ricky, you have some explaining to do. Because I can't understand you.
I would nail that.
A Bob Louie.
Kevin being a suave Cuban band leader?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I'd pay
just
to see that.
Dye his hair black and you're good to go.
It's all about me.
So anyway, I was excited by that news. I think that's going to be an interesting...
Aaron Sorkin and Cate Blanchett, I don't care what the movie
right?
is I'm watching.
Yes. Make them make all the movies.
Yeah, I love that.
We also love Jeffrey Tambor, right?
Yes, very much so.
I want to give everybody a heads up. If you are a fan of, I don't know, Transparent, or The Larry Sanders Show, or Arrested Development, or Injustice for All, I mean, so many great performances over his life. Of course, right now he's in the spotlight because of his work as Maura Pfefferman on Transparent, but also being the dad on Arrested Development, which is coming back. And anyway, he's getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
Hey now!
At 11:30 a.m. It is going to be right near the famous corner of Hollywood and Vine in front of the Iguana Vintage Store right there.
Hey now!
So if you're a fan of Jeffrey Tambor, head on down to Hollywood and Vine today at 11:30 and you can see him get his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Hey now!
Which is well-deserved. And he'll probably say, hey now, at some point.
Hey now.
He's one of those people that doesn't realize how great he is either. And that's a refreshing thing.
Yeah, I think he...
He doesn't take himself that seriously.
I think he is more honest about how most actors feel, which is they're just sort of happy to have the job and they're not ever really sure if they can pull it off or not. But he's just talented enough to be able to do it every time. He just knocks it out of the park because he's enormously gifted. And Taylor Swift was in a Denver federal courtroom yesterday.
Oh, why couldn't I be on this jury?
She wasn't charged with a crime and going to prison, unfortunately, as we'd like to see her in a federal courtroom. No, she was there because of this lawsuit that she is having as she destroys the life of this morning radio show host named David Mueller.
Or she reported sexual assault,
mm-hmm.
depending on how you look at it.
David got fired. Taylor had him fired because he allegedly grabbed her butt during a meet-and-greet photo. First of all, she doesn't have a butt. So I think that's what his lawyer should just put that up in evidence right away. Your Honor, look, there's no ass there. What could he grab? Her femur? What could be grabbed?
That should be his defense. Is, look, I just couldn't understand how she could be alive without an ass.
I was just trying to see if it was fascinating. The bone. It's all bone. anyway, she was in there as they are picking jurors. They're going to pick 8 jurors that will hear the arguments in the civil trial that will cover both lawsuits, her lawsuit against him, his lawsuit against her.
She was in the court while they were picking jurors?
Yes.
Is that normal?
No.
That's not uncommon. It's not uncommon.
Okay. She's just, you know.
The worst?
The worst. And, hey, it's an opportunity to make something about me. How do I pass it up, right?
Well, it is about her. She's being sued. It is about her. She's the defendant.
Or is she the other thing that's not the defendant?
The accuser? The plaintiff?
Plaintiff. That's it, yes.
Guys, I... as much as I want to be on this jury, because clearly she's innocent and I can tell, this questionnaire that they handed out to the jurors yesterday, I would have failed on every... I mean...
Really?
Have you bought a record? Have you seen her in concert?
If you admit to being a Taylor Swift fan, according to the questionnaire, you will not get on the jury because that is a sign of mental illness. And they don't want anybody mentally ill on the jury.
That makes total sense.
Said someone close to the case. I can't tell you who it is, but it's a fact.
It's dead on.
Now. Science. Today's celebrity birthday, Shawn Mendes is 19 years old today. Weren't you saying just sold out here
Staples
locally
Center,
at Staples
yeah.
Center?
Sold out Staples Center. Yeah. Yep.
Come on now.
19.
Hey now.
Indeed.
Megan Good is 36 years old today. J.C. Chazet is 41. The Edge turns 56. And actor Dustin Hoffman celebrates his 80th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks to a lawsuit that has been filed and a press conference that was held in a live video stream on Monday, Usher has brought herpes back into the news, you guys. So we thought this might be a good time to debut a brand new feature here on the Kevin Amin Show that we'd like to call Herpes Talk.
No.
A little late. A little late.
I was late or you were late?
I think you were late on bringing it up there.
Okay.
Herpes. Oh. It's a new feature.
Oh, God. Do it again.
It's a new feature that we like to call Herpes Talk. Okay.
It's not a feature. It's not. We're not going to talk about herpes.
No, this is going to be a regular every Tuesday at 8.
Can we stop the reverb? It's just a conversation. We're going to have one conversation about herpes because it needs to be had.
Okay.
People are dumb.
And, Ralph, we're going to let you lead on this because you're the sexy guy and you've got all the expertise in delicate topics like this. But I will say that I'm with you, and I think it's a great conversation to have because if the numbers are accurate that are reported, which is something close to 25% of the people in America have herpes, right?
At least.
Okay. That indicates to me that this is something that should be widely discussed and widely known, and people should have a much greater understanding with it than they do based on, you know, all the snickering and the whispering and everything that's going on when a story like this makes the news.
Beyond that, the stigma needs to be stripped away from the herpes virus because it is a common illness like any other. And just because this particular strain of this virus is sexually transmitted should not make it some sort of deep, dark secret that everyone's afraid of, because that just causes secrecy and lies and leads to situations like this thing with Usher, where allegedly he didn't tell this woman he was about to have sex with that he had herpes simplex 2, which is the genital version of this disease. But let's talk initially first about herpes in general. If you know anyone in your life that ever had a cold sore, they have herpes.
Okay, really?
About 80% of the people in America have HSV-1, herpes virus 1, which is the oral herpes, which causes cold sores on your mouth. If you know anyone who's ever had a cold sore, they have herpes. Okay,
isn't that everyone in the world at one time or another?
No.
Not everybody gets cold sore.
Okay. Not everybody gets a cold sore. About 80% of the U.S. population has HSV-1. If you ever had chicken pox, that's the herpes virus.
Is that right?
Shingles is the herpes virus.
Oh.
Mononucleosis is the herpes virus. Epstein-Barr is the herpes virus. These are all different strains of herpes. Okay? So HSV-2 is genital herpes, meaning that it presents itself at the nerve endings that are involved around the genitals. Okay? This is just an illness like any other illness that can be transmitted through sexual activity.
But it seems like it might be a difficult conversation to have.
Absolutely.
If your goal is to get laid, which it is at that point.
Right.
You have to somehow get that information out and then still hope to have sex.
But what kind of person are you going to be? You have to make a choice at some point. Yes, everybody wants to get laid. I understand that. But you also have to say to yourself, who am I basically in terms of my character? If you're any kind of decent human being, then you have to present this information to your potential partner and allow them to make an informed choice. Yes, you run the risk. Maybe you won't get laid. But I think that's a small price to pay for being a decent human being.
Let me ask this question, and I'm sorry, Ralph, out of ignorance. Just because you have herpes or the virus for herpes doesn't mean that you're always going to give it to the person you have sex with, right?
Not at all. Not at all.
Is it possible that the person is thinking, well, what are the chances they're going to get it? If I have sex with 100 people, you know, 5 of them will get it. Those are pretty good odds.
That's not your choice to make, though.
No, I agree. I agree. But is that the mindset you think some people have? Yes. I probably won't give it to them anyway, so I'm just going to not tell them?
Yes. You can only really infect your sexual partner during what is called as a shedding phase, where the virus is actually present on the skin to the point where it is able to be transmitted to someone else's skin. And the virus isn't always in the shedding phase. So there are long-term couples, by the way, who one person has it, the other person doesn't have it, and married couples, and they're never infected. Their partner's never infected.
Because they understand it?
If you're aware of the symptoms, of when you start getting a tingle or something, and you're aware of when the shedding phase in your particular symptoms shows up, you can absolutely monitor and handle this disease, because it's really, in the big scheme of diseases, it's not life-threatening, it's not a major illness, it's just sort of an annoyance that has to be monitored and has to be dealt with. And there are medications, and there are things that you can do. And it's not ideal, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying if you do have it...
Don't go looking for it, but if you have it, it's not going to ruin your life.
If that's your thing, if that's your kink, go looking for it.
I'm sure there are ways you can find it.
How about this? Because as you pointed out at the top, there's a stigma associated with it. It's embarrassing to talk about sex anyway, particularly with a new person you don't know that well. Right. If you were Usher, how would you have had that conversation? Like, how do you even broach the topic?
Because I assume that it's done poorly.
Well, here's the thing. You have to have it earlier on. The earlier on, the better. You don't want to be hot and heavy, making out, rolling around in bed, fumbling, getting your clothes off.
And then go, herpes!
At that point, that's what you're going to bring it up.
So put it in your Tinder profile, it sounds like you're saying.
If it looks like the relationship is going to turn, have a sexual turn, that's the point when you're picking up on those signals to say, look, and here's the thing, when you do present it, and full disclosure, I dated a girl many years ago who had genital herpes. And early in our relationship, she said, I have something to tell you. And she said, I carry the virus for genital herpes.
And did you run?
I did not.
Okay.
She explained to me how she monitored it, what steps you could take to avoid getting it. And it was never transferred to me. I was never infected. And it's simply because she was well informed. And when she presented it to me, she was very calm and very matter of fact about the virus and the situation. And that makes a big difference. About how you present it will often dictate how the other person receives that news.
Should the other person be scared or not is based on your delivery.
Right. If you're ashamed and you're looking down and you feel insecure and you seem like this is a dirty secret of yours, the other person will pick up on that vibe and feel like this is something that is negative. If you're matter of fact about it, and if you present it like saying, I don't want to shake hands with you right now because I've got a cold or I've got the flu, if you treat it as the simple medical situation that it is, often people will respond in kind. Now, look, some people won't, and it's their right to say, no, you know what? Yes, probably we can monitor it and we can manage it so I won't be infected, but I'm not going to take that risk, so I'm not going to enter into a sexual relationship with you. That you do run that risk, but look, if Usher had done that, look at what he would have
avoided
in terms of public embarrassment, whatever financial issues are going to come up because of this, whatever the day in court is that he's going to have to face. These are all
complications that cause from just him not having the decency to, if he is, and this is up for grabs, if he is indeed carrying the virus for herpes, just by not being honest, he has created much more of a problem for himself than if he simply didn't get laid that night.
Everything I know about this comes from The Hangover.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Except for herpes. That will come back with you.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Good advice.
All right, we're almost out of time, Ralph. I think that's excellent information. We should post this conversation up on the Kevin Bean social media so other people can see it and share it. And this might be, you know, a good talking point for couples and just parents and kids.
Just a quick mention, if you want to look out and get more information, datingwithherpes.org. Datingwithherpes.org is a great resource to find out more about information, how to tell your partner about it. If you're someone who's dating someone who has herpes, how you can protect yourself. There's a lot of great information there.
What do you think the, let's say that these people that are suing Usher, let's say they prevail in court. What do you think the penalty should be for somebody who has sex with you and doesn't tell you they have herpes?
Here's the thing. With this particular woman, this
Quantasia
Sharpton, she did not contract genital herpes by sleeping with Usher.
So that's odd that she would sue.
So she is suing because she said she felt violated and she felt like he was being dishonest with her, and that caused her emotional distress. I don't know what that's worth. I don't. That's for a jury to decide, obviously. I think if someone, if you contracted it, that's a life changer. I mean, you have to deal with that for the remainder of your life, and you have to adjust your life accordingly. I think that that's a significant penalty someone should pay. Just by someone who didn't tell you, I don't know what the value on that is. Because, first of all, she chose to sleep with a person who she didn't know. He was a stranger. She met him at one of his concerts, apparently, went backstage, went back to his hotel room, and decided to sleep with him. For her to say she felt violated seems like she knew sort of what she was getting into with at that time. She was
rolling the dice.
She was rolling the dice by sleeping with a stranger, and then I don't know if they used protection or not, whatever the situation was. But I'm not blaming her. I'm not shaming her in any sense. She made her choice. But sometimes if you choose to be in an almost anonymous sexual encounter, you're opening yourself up to potential dangers, and you have to have some responsibility for that. That being said, Usher, absolutely, if he does carry the herpes virus, I think absolutely had to be forthcoming and inform her with that. He was definitely in the wrong, but in terms of how much money that is worth, I couldn't begin to tell you. I don't know. I think he paid $1.1 million to a previous woman who claimed that she did contract genital herpes from an encounter with Usher.
Okay, so he paid that sort of just to keep her quiet.
Reportedly, yes. So allegedly, so I mean, it's not a good deal at all.
Am I missing the point?
Yeah, I think so. If you know, if $1 million seems to be the base, if you get it, then maybe Ms. Sharpton should get, I don't know, half a mil. I don't know. What are you talking about?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Right. A gift card. I don't know. What do you give the person that you haven't given herpes to?
Good information, Ralph. Thank you so much for leading us through that. This has been herpes talk. Herpes talk.
Congratulations to Henry Fernandez from Norwalk. Just won tickets to see the Killers at Staples Center. Your chance to win is coming up. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:26.
You don't go in the ocean as much as you used to back in the day.
Right.
You used to be big into going into the water.
Yeah, I still love it, but not as often.
You just don't get a chance to do it as much anymore. Is there ever any concern? Are you one of those people who's ever thought, you know what? There's a lot of things in the ocean that are dangerous. There's the stinging jellyfish, and God, you know, especially this last couple of years, there's sharks. Are you one of those people who think the ocean is vast and the chances of any of those things getting anywhere near me are infinitesimal?
I'm a what are the chances guy. So if I go out in the ocean, I think, yeah, okay, there's sharks, but what are the chances there's going to be one right where I am?
I mean, that's, you know, the numbers back you up. What's the worldwide number of people who get bit by sharks? You know, it's a handful, you know, and millions of people in the water. So I get that. So I'm thinking about all that. And then I see this story out of Melbourne, Australia. And I'm sure you saw it. It was big news yesterday about this kid, this 16-year-old kid who got viciously attacked by a creature I have never even heard of before.
Oh, no.
The sea flea. Do you know about the sea fleas?
No, I've never heard of the sea fleas.
Neither have I. It's a lysianacid, and I know I'm pronouncing that wrong, lysianacid amphipod.
Yeah. Hell, yes. Right. It is a type of
Scavenging crustacean. So here's what happened. This 16-year-old boy, his name is Sam Kennesay. He lives in Melbourne, Australia. He had been playing soccer with his friends. And you know, bad things always happen to you when you get involved with soccer.
Sure.
So after the game, he was tired. He thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to go stand in the ocean for a little while, and because I have these muscles that are a little bit sore. That'll be soothing. They have the water. You know, it makes sense. Just I walked out of the water. I saw what I thought was sand covering my ankles below my calf, so I shook it and it came off. But that wasn't sand. Then he noticed that his legs were bleeding profusely.
Oh, my God.
He hobbled home quickly. He called his dad, who was inside the house, and said, Dad, you better come outside. So Dad comes out, and they discovered thousands of tiny bites on his legs. It looked like he had been pricked with a pin repeatedly. We thought we'd better clean off this bit of blood, and then we realized it wasn't washing away, said the boy's mom, Jane Canizay. There was no stopping the bleeding. We took him immediately to the hospital. Doctors attempted to stem the flow of blood, but it continued to run from the many pinhole-sized bites on his feet and legs.
Wow.
His pain was up to an 8 out of 10, his father said. Hospital staff were baffled by the injury. So here's what the dad did. This is amazing that a father would even think of this and then do it. He put on two wetsuits. He went to the spot in the ocean where his son had been bit. And he used some raw meat to lure the sea fleas into a pool net. And then he brought up and collected thousands of these little sea fleas, these little mites about 2 millimeters long, and put a video up on YouTube. They, on these bits of meat, they've sucked the blood out and they remain attached to the flesh. I mean, these are like little piranhas, man, or something like that.
That one doesn't really have the bones that you're looking for.
No, it doesn't. Here's the craziest thing about the bite of the sea flea. Their bite contains an anticoagulant, which makes it impossible to stop the flow of blood. No, we're completely out.
Okay.
However, they are not poisonous. The damage will not be lasting, and the boy is expected to recover. So if you're one of those people who thinks like Kevin does, like, yeah, what are the chances? It's something. Now there's more stuff in the ocean that you have to worry about dodging when you go into the water. This picture, though, I mean, it's like he got bit by hundreds of mosquitoes all in one spot. You know what I mean? And
he didn't feel
the biting because the water was cold, you know, and he wasn't aware of it until he stepped out and then saw all the blood. So that's a real-life horror movie right there. You guys. Look out for the sea fleas. Watch that. All right. I think we've covered it. That's all. That's the end of that story.
But look out.
We're done now.
But look out for the sea fleas.
We covered that. We're fine now.
So look out. That's what we're saying.
And they talk about the history of the Kevin and Bean Show, and they go back to all sorts of crazy stuff, and they have guests, and they talk about what it's like working on the show and being behind the scenes. It's super interesting. If you just can't get enough of us, then that's a podcast you want to check out. All right, Dave is here. That means it's time for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah!
Oh, watch me, baby!
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby!
Internet Roundup. Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby!
Thug Life!
There's a whole, I don't know what Thug Life has to do with it, but there's a whole bunch of great videos that we're not going to have time to spotlight, but I urge you to go to the page at krock.com or kevinandbean.com because it's all the best viral videos of the week. Like, for instance,
yeah,
the
like
dog.
10 to 13 videos, right?
On average. The dog that loves Despacito so much that he throws a fit every time the owner turns off the video is just so, like, what's going on in that little dog's head?
I don't know. That's an absurd video.
It's crazy. And Dave, you put up one. I'm going to be completely honest with you now. I would not and could not and will never watch, which is 100 people trying to fart. Because
come on, Bean.
I'm not down with the fart comedy. You know that.
Listen, spoiler alert. Only two can do it.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anything about it. There's a new Honest Trailer with a Point Break that's hilarious. One of the best ones they've done, too. But let's spotlight a few of the other ones. You know, It's almost anti-American in the summer of 2017 to admit or to hold the opinion that Wonder Woman isn't the greatest superhero movie you've ever seen in your life, particularly if you're a woman. Man, there's so much girl power going on with women and girls walking out of that theater saying, oh, my God, finally. If you don't feel like that, you're in trouble. And that's why Funny or Die is presenting a support group for women who didn't love Wonder Woman.
I thought Hidden Figures was great.
Oh, so good.
Octavia Spencer was a treasure.
But so good. Wonder Woman has a lot of problems. How is an island full of only hot chicks considered feminist?
Yes.
Why is she always walking like a runway model?
Yes.
And I am sorry, but her blind confidence is just naive. You can't be confident for no reason.
Yes.
Oh, thank
yes.
you.
And it was too long. 2 hours and 20 minutes. I ain't got time for that.
Exactly.
Why is she running around in wedge heels? We all know that wedge heels are just as unstable and uncomfortable as regular high heels.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
We're just expected to love it because it's the first female superhero movie that sees the...
That's you know, maybe editing. Edit those. Maybe edit those oh, before we play God. Them on the air. I'm just going to suggest if we could
so
do
wait,
that.
Are we now not allowed to say the F word?
Yeah, apparently we're not.
Oh, nope.
So it's good that there's a support group then for right. For women who don't love women. All right, up next, and I know that we hear from a lot of listeners that complain, and I think probably rightfully so, that we do not represent Game of Thrones enough on this show.
Oh my God, you guys are missing out.
Yeah,
I know it's one of the most popular TV shows of all time.
There's only 8 episodes this season, and each one keeps getting better and better and better.
But Dave, if I didn't start.
I say jump right in. You'll catch right along.
Do
it's
you
so
think
easy.
I will?
Yes.
But me specifically.
Yes, and okay. I want your review on Monday.
Okay.
Didn't they set everyone in the world on fire on Sunday night, Dave?
Oh, dude, it was lit.
Yeah. Well, they've taken the Songify guys, who we love so much. We featured their videos for years here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They have taken the most recent episode with a bunch of dialogue, and especially about Jon Snow, and they have made a song out of it. And if you love Game of Thrones, then you'll love the Songify Game of Thrones.
You, none of Boston. Did I offend you? Sorry. You all the Boston, though. You all the Boston.
Jon Snow, let me give you some advice.
Never forget what you are.
The rest of the world will not. Wear it like armor, and it can never be used to hurt you.
Jon Snow.
Everything's better with some wine. I'm sorry to see you being close.
I like Jon Snow. Jon Snow, Jon Snow.
Tell Jon Snow.
You stand in the presence of Daenerys Stormborn of House Targaryen, the last Targaryen, rightful heir to the Iron Throne, rightful queen of the Andals and First Men, protector of the Seven Kingdoms, the mother of dragons, Khaleesi of Great Guasi, the unburnt, the breaker of chains.
This is Jon Snow.
You know, it's just, it's not a thing until you make it an EDM song.
Jon Snow, though, being is one, probably the most favorite character in Game of Thrones.
Oh, totally, yeah.
So that's why this song is very funny.
And finally, and for those who complain they don't like hearing about the president on our show, I'd like to note that it is 8:43 a.m. This is the first mention this morning, but this is a great video. You know, the president has a lot of things to say, Kevin, but he doesn't want to be the one to say them, and this is a supercut of that happening up on the stage.
Now, I won't say it was because of me, but it was. Okay.
I'm not going to say that was me, but believe me, it was me.
I'm not going to say Jeb is low energy, but he's pretty low.
I won't say that they all said... He's our favorite, but they did. He's our favorite.
I can't say this in front of Sean, but Lion Ted.
I won't tell you what he did because he actually grabbed one by the shirt, but I won't say that.
I won't say it with CNN, okay?
I refuse to say in this room because I say it outside and I get standing ovations, but this is a room I won't do it. But it's a rigged system. It's a rigged system.
And she also sent a tweet out at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I won't even mention that.
She also said irredeemable, but we won't mention that.
We got very high ratings, by the way, but I won't mention that.
The one debate I missed. It was the lowest rated debate, by the way, but I won't say that.
We have more people here than they do, but we won't say that.
I always come out way above everybody else on the economy and on leadership, by the way, but I won't say that.
It's my strongest thing, according to the people that know me best. I won't even say it myself. I think maybe even if I was going to say it, my temperament is the best.
Well,
I know
did,
how to
you
win.
Did, you but just the fact say is, yourself, though, just to point it.
I'm glad he wouldn't say those things, right? I'll tell you. And I'm also delighted there were no F-words in that supercut from Omar. Thank you for that. All right, you can see all these videos and so much more right now and every week at KRUC.com or KevinandBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Chicka bingin, zigga rocket, zigga dig it.
What's
great
happening?
Lyrics. It's a great lyric.
He's singing some Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, okay. Hey, despite what you heard earlier in the half hour, Rob, it doesn't mean that you have the go-ahead to use the F word during the showbiz beat here on K-Rock.
Apparently you
okay?
can. That's only
I'm just
the
saying,
new rules.
Still not allowed on the show at all. So,
contrary to what happened 30 minutes
ago. All right, so do the best you can with this report.
I promise I will not use that word in any way, though. But I said I'm going to use
right.
it F-free.
Right, but...
Saying that I will not use the F-word.
Right.
But okay. in the context I was saying, I'm just telling you what I was not going to say.
Right, yeah, but don't use it at all. Don't use it at all.
I think you guys are missing my point.
I think you're missing our point.
Let me tell you what's great. This is great. Just when we thought we'd never see it again, we are getting six sweet-ass, delicious episodes of a new David Letterman talk show.
How about that?
Oh, I'm so happy.
How about that?
I miss David Letterman.
I miss him so much.
Did you guys ever think he would come back, though? Once he retired,
no.
Didn't you think that's it?
I did, because
you did? Okay.
He did a print article in December where he interviewed Tina Fey for The Hollywood Reporter. And he was talking to her about not being on television anymore. And he said, I'm feeling anxious. I find since I don't have a show anymore, I can't stop talking. Since that, I got the sense stuff was building up in him.
Oh, interesting.
That he was going to do something as a creative outlet.
Imagine being his family if he's not working and he feels like talking every second of the day.
Well that's what he said, he's driving him crazy, yeah. Yeah, I was agreeing with what you were saying,
right.
with your story about the thing.
Right. Right. Well, funny you should mention that, Kevin, about his family, because he said in his written statement, I feel excited and lucky to be working on this project for Netflix. Here's what I have learned. If you retire to spend more time with your family, check with your family first. Thanks for watching. Drive safely, David Letterman. So
that's funny.
Yeah, already I'm laughing. He's not even on television yet.
What's this going to be?
Well, you said it's going to be just six episodes. It'll be on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's going to be an hour-long conversation in long form with one guest.
Interesting. I would watch that because he's so fascinating.
As well as exploring topics on his own outside the studio. So I'm guessing he'll probably do some man on the street type bits as well on his own. But in terms of guests, it'll just be one guest per episode.
And when is this happening?
2018.
Okay.
So...
He did an interview on... Norm MacDonald has a... I want to call it a podcast, but it's on video also, so
yes.
Whatever that is.
And
he
show.
Sat down with Norm for an hour recently, too. It was fascinating.
Like a video podcast is what it is. It's a vodcast. It's a pitio. Video cast. David Letterman here on the show, and we talked about things.
I did get the idea when watching that Letterman had promised him he would do it, so that's why he followed through, but he doesn't do much. So this is exciting.
I thought he was going to go the Carson route. Johnny Carson, for folks who don't know, used to be the host of The Tonight Show for 30 years. And when he retired, he almost never resurfaced in public eye. A couple of very quick exceptions. But he, you know, would never do an interview, would never be a guest on a show. He just didn't want to have anything to do with it because he was done with show business. And that's what I expected from Letterman.
I'm happy. Chief Content Officer for Netflix, Ted Sarandos, said, David Letterman is a true television icon. I can't wait to see him out in the wild, out from behind the desk, and interviewing people he finds most interesting. We'll have to see if he keeps the beard, he said. And that's my only hang-up, is I can't really look at him with that beard.
Really?
The beard makes me uncomfortable.
That's a strong-ass beard.
It's too strong. That's my opinion. He can keep it, but he's got to mow it down a little bit.
Trim it a little?
He's got to shear it just so it's only a foot or two long. Versus the 3 or 4 feet of beard he's rocking these days.
It is pretty Santa-ish.
It's way disturbing and distracting.
It looks like a guy who lives in the woods by himself.
Yeah.
It does.
Just tighten it up. That's all I'm asking.
A little grooming.
Just take a couple inches off.
You know, that seems unlikely.
So we'll wait and see.
Also,
it hasn't been gone that long. 2015 is when he signed off, by the way, of Late Late
Show. It feels like 10 years.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
He's been gone forever.
It does.
But I'm very happy that he's coming back.
Well, hell, sign me up for that.
And I'm also happy that Adam West is coming back. Adam West's final performance as Batman in the animated movie Batman vs. Two-Face just got a release date. Warner Brothers Home Videos announced that the animated feature film featuring Batman versus his arch nemesis Two-Face will be out on October 17th. We've got a release date. It'll be on Blu-ray and available for digital downloading on October 17th. So you get to
You're absolutely right.
Get to see Adam.
He knows you can't say the word.
Play Batman one more time. And the good news is Two-Face's arch nemesis will be played by Kevin?
David Letterman.
Nope. William Shatner.
William Shatner.
William Shatner.
Wow.
Is going to be his, is going to voice the evil Two-Face. So two great icons facing off against each other. It's funny because they started their career together. And now Adam's ending his career opposite Shatner. So it's kind of cool.
That's fantastic.
Did you go with David Letterman because that was the last person we had just talked about?
Of course.
Is that why?
Of course.
When I asked you for the name of an actor?
What else? How else do you think my mind works?
You went right to the last thing that you was in your head?
If somebody asked me about a song, whatever the song is that somebody mentioned last or I heard last, that's all that comes to my head. That's how it works.
That is fascinating.
I'm not proud of that.
I hope you're donating your brain to science.
I would do that,
when
sure.
it's all over. Because they're going to need to... They're going to need to investigate what's happens in there.
I think Kevin somehow got that, what is it, the CTE, without playing football. I'm not sure how.
Well, right? I got a sense he fell a lot as
a
child.
I did play football, and I got hit in the head a lot. So both of those things did happen.
Meet Kevin the genius. Meet Kevin.
Right?
Wow, no idea.
Right?
Stop saying right. Today's celebrity.
David Letterman.
Today's celebrity birthdays. You know who's born today, Kevin?
David Letterman?
Nope. I just wanted to see if it's still stood the test of time.
That's how mine works. This might be a great game, Ralph, to see how much we've been paying attention to the showbiz all day long today to see if Kevin can name any of the people who had a birthday today.
I bet he could. I bet he can come up with three. I bet Kevin
Because you've
up
named
three
him every hour.
There's five people here. Three out of five, I'm guessing. Kevin will come up with three out of five.
Birthdays for today.
Birthdays today. Today's celebrity birthdays. Born today on August 8th.
Now, you heard about it at 5:50 a.m.,
yes.
6:50, 7:50, and now here
Shawn
we are at
Mendes.
Shawn Mendes, absolutely
Very
correct.
Very well done.
He's 19 years old today.
Right. Whoops, that's the wrong button.
What? Someone's calling
That's the
now.
One I wanted, sorry.
Can I get help on the phone?
call a phone friend. A friend.
There was someone hot, because I remember being belling her.
Yes, someone
okay.
hot.
Okay, so that's two.
No,
you don't get credit for someone hot.
To name someone.
I mean, I'm out.
Stop it. Really?
Yeah.
I thought you could come up with three out of five.
I think I've only got three in my head right now. I may have missed
right?
some of them,
Who
too.
Else do you have, B?
I have Megan Good, who was the hot one.
That was the bell. But Kevin, the one we talked about being so great-looking for his age?
Oh, yes. that guy. Rain Man.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hoffman. There you go, Dustin Hoffman.
I only needed, like, four clues.
That's right.
All right, so that's three, and you've been doing six?
Five.
Okay, so there are two others that you've talked about already today that we don't remember.
Yes.
You have.
I asked what boy band one guy belonged to.
Oh, J.C. Chazé from NSYNC.
Right.
Right. And then there's another one.
Yes, there is.
David Letterman.
No! The Edge from YouTube.
Oh, The Edge. Yes. All right, we all suck.
You guys are awful.
We're bad.
We're all sieve heads.
Yeah. But we knew that about me, Bean. This should be very shocking to you.
It is. It's very disturbing. I don't like it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37. So I got to tell you, tomorrow, Susan Michaels is going to be here.
Woo!
She's a CatCon lady.
What's going to happen?
Susan Michaels is going to be here, and she's the...
Susan Michaels?
She's the person that is responsible for CatCon.
You should be excited about that.
Come on!
She's responsible for
it. Be happy about revisiting that topic.
That is my foe.
What the hell?
And it's not going to go well, and I can
It's
make
a
you know
wonderful it. Event that they do every year for cats and people who love them.
Right.
I mean,
that's what I meant.
Look, a lot of our listeners have cats, love cats, are going to be excited to hear about that event.
I'm going to do my best to handle that professionally.
Me too. Put out some bowls of antifreeze.
There are no cats coming in, Ralph. It's just that I don't think you can get Susan to drink it. I have a question for our producer, which is, why is Susan not here today on International Cat Day? Why are we saving her for tomorrow? Seems kind of weird that it's not part of today's show, right?
I don't think
no
there's
one
any
knows
big rush.
It's a holiday, right. And so it doesn't matter. It's like
right.
Everybody's saying, wow, you know, it's so weird. Today's Cat Day, and they don't have any cat-themed guests today.
I know.
No
but
one knew until you said it.
But if you go on the Facebook or your Instagram or whatever, you're going to see it's International Cat Day.
I'm not.
Just
been
nice,
I'm not
timely.
See
okay.
That.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Susan tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun. She's a very nice lady.
I'll do my
and
best.
And she's created a wonderful event.
I
and this year, by the way, we're
nothing.
Sending. We're sending Beer Mug in a cat onesie down to get some interviews for us, so
correct.
That should be a lot of fun.
Why
as well.
Don't we send him down as a big fish?
Oh, the cats
so
would love that.
So the cats will attack him and try to
awesome.
Eat him. That would be awesome.
Everyone wins.
Right? We'll just smear him with anchovies and just send him down there and just have the cats try to just chew him apart.
I like it. Now
like
I'm
it. In. 9:39, Ralph's here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Speaking of events and things that are happening. This eclipse talk.
Oh, don't get me started on the
eclipse.
Oh, is that part of your new podcast?
Bean has been talking about nothing else
because
for
like
punishing
2 weeks
us
now.
With this
because
total
of eclipse fever.
Right.
First of all, it's not eclipse
it's
fever.
It's sweeping the nation.
It's not sweeping anything.
It's all anyone's talking about.
And I'm driving in this morning. Listening to the radio,
mm-hmm.
and I was given the information, given Bean's out-of-proportion reaction to this event. Kevin,
right, right.
How often would you think there is a total eclipse of the sun?
Given
often?
Bean's excitement, like right. once out of 50 years.
Right.
Right.
Every 18 months.
Really?
Every 18 months.
Bean, this happens every 18 months?
Yes, but not where you can see it. Look, the Earth is a big place. There are always eclipses happening.
Slow down.
This is
the Earth is a big place.
Yes.
Okay.
This is. Let me drop some knowledge on you here.
No. Nope.
This is the first total solar eclipse that is visible only from the United States since 1776.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you want to, you can
call.
See an eclipse. Just travel. Go.
Yeah.
Go
if you
it.
Want to go to Peru because they're having one. But I'm telling you, for most people, this is the best chance in their lifetime to see this event.
You won't even see it unless you're in one particular place in the United States. You won't even see it.
It's a band of 70 miles that goes all the way across the country from all the way from Oregon to South Carolina.
Ralph, if I were to tell you that Bean is strongly considering driving on a weekday. 5 hours one way to have a better view of the eclipse.
I wish he would. I wish he would drive to the sun to have a better view of the eclipse. There's a guy on the radio who's like, "Yeah, this will be my 57th solar eclipse." F you! This isn't a thing that if you can see 57.
Well,
times,
those are that's
how
the, that's the rarity.
Can you get
those are shadow hunters. That's the rarity. That's
I
not what I am.
Punch you
ridiculous.
In the balls.
Eclipse.
He's not so excited. Thing. He's so excited.
Oh.
I'm telling you, you can get on board now, or you can get on board when we get closer to the event. But eventually, you're going to get on board.
What if
because
we don't,
you
though?
Will.
I'm not getting on board. Trust me.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get on board either. Sorry.
You guys, blow the bridge before the train even gets here.
You're on
the
your own.
The sun is going to be between.
We understand what an eclipse is.
The moon is between the sun and the earth, and it'll be dark in the middle of the day.
Right.
Right.
Which happens every 18 months around the world.
When was the last time it happened at your house, Ralph?
Common occurrence.
When was the last time it happened at your house?
It lasts a minute and then it's over. And your life, get on, fix your life.
Here's my thing. My thing is, if it happened and I was aware of it, say, a day early, maybe I don't know, make a note, look up in the sky tomorrow, and that's about it.
You know what's going to happen? You're going, it's weird. It's getting a little dark here in the middle of the day. Oh, that's over. Now I'm going to go back to my life.
Now I'm going to drive 5 hours back to my home.
Oh.
So you're on board. It sounds to me like what you're saying is, Bean, where did you get your solar viewing glasses so I can get some too?
Stop using words and listen to me.
These are people who just have to make something out of nothing.
Not interested.
These are the 7/12 Christmas people.
Yep.
These are Bean's people.
Oh, it's way bigger than that, though.
Bullshit.
It's way bigger than that.
It's not. It's you making something out of nothing.
I'm telling you, I guarantee we have listeners that have planned their vacation around that event and are driving to Wyoming or someplace to see it.
How many listeners do you think are doing that? Everyone?
I think...
Hey, Ruben,
if I had
bring,
to guess,
bring in what's in the printer. Would you, Ruben, go get me what's in the printer?
It's very tough to guess, Kevin. How many of our listeners are traveling to see the eclipse? I would say 92%.
92% of what? Of what is traveling?
Of our listeners are traveling to see the eclipse.
Okay.
Are traveling, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a ghost town in L.A. because people are going to be like, F this 60%. I'm going where it's good.
What? What is your...
This is not show biz, is it?
Malfunction.
Are we still doing that?
It's more important than show business. That's just goofy fun. It's cotton candy. This is the meat.
Mark.
What is your problem? Why do you feel... Why do you feel like you have to make this into something?
I didn't make it into something. It's an event that is. It's an event that's happening in the sky. I just want to see
it. Happening in the sky.
Well, I didn't realize it was happening in the sky. Then you have to travel 5 hours to see something.
But is there eclipse fever?
Yes. There's. Are you kidding me? There's absolutely
eclipse.
I feel like maybe we need to have this discussion tomorrow morning.
Man.
Yeah.
You know how long it's going to last?
It better last for about 6 hours for everything I put up with listening to this.
The totality is very short.
You're
going to
get about 90 seconds. It's going to be about 90 seconds.
That's the total blot out, right. But there's watching it happen along the way until you get to that.
Oh. Matt from the 562 has texted, in Bean's defense, Bean's nonsense notwithstanding, this is very exciting, guys. Don't be dicks.
It's very exciting.
Very exciting. So you got one supporter, Bean.
Thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate it, sir.
Speaking of Bean and his people, I thought this list was interesting. The sex dolls, the sex robots,
yes,
are becoming a thing. Mm-hmm. The real doll people have announced they're working on a high-tech sex doll. The latest and greatest. This is the next generation stuff.
Okay.
It will set you down. It will set you about $14,000. It'll set you back about $14,000.
Holy cow.
I'm still listening.
It's a 3-month waiting list, by the way. They haven't come off the assembly line yet, but this is the next gen stuff. This is the high end.
All right, $14,000 check, 3-month waiting list check. Okay,
they're the naughty bits are dishwasher safe. The nipples come in 42 different colors, 42 different choices.
Do you need 42 different colors?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, they've released a list. This is according to Sexbot, which is a group of people who are sex robot aficionados.
Is Bean the president in German?
Yes. It's called Sexbot Fever. Apparently everyone's got Sexbot Fever.
What?
And they've released a list of the top 10 celebrities that they would like to have robot resemble.
Okay,
so you can choose what your robot looks like. They custom make it. If you say, "Hey, I want one that looks like Scarlett Johansson," they'll make you a Scarlett Johansson.
They're not there yet. Okay, they're still making their own. Their own design is coming out. Okay,
but they're saying when they can give us a choice,
right? But this is amongst sex robot aficionados. This is the most requested female celebrity replicas they would like to have in their home. Okay, do you want to play this game? You want to take some...
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron not in the top 10.
That's a dumb list.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, what?
Jennifer Bales?
Jennifer Bales is also not on the list.
Brooke Newton?
Brooke Newton?
How about Kim Kardashian?
Kim Kardashian not on the list.
What?
Kevin.
What?
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 Is this place not in America?
This is...
Are these smelly foreigners?
U.S. and U.K.-based men... who frequent the popular website.
Okay.
Well, definitely, Kim Kardashian, I'm shocked that she's not on the list.
Kylie Jenner.
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. Bean, you've already mentioned it.
Oh. Already mentioned?
The number one.
Bean already mentioned? Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, number one.
Number one on the list. She racked up nearly 37% of the votes.
I can see that. Fetty Wap.
Nope.
Charlie Manson.
No, Charlie Manson did not make the list. I'll give you number 10.
Johnson.
Give you number 10. Okay. Game of Thrones star Emilia Clarke was number 10.
Oh sure. Very, okay, very hot right now.
Yeah. Porn star Riley Reid was number 9. I don't know who she is, but I'm going to do some research later.
A lot of research?
Yes.
Yeah.
Number 8, Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Really?
Okay,
now that's
listen.
Shocking to
right.
me.
It Same. Isn't shocking to me at all because think like Bean thinks.
But
those are the people.
But I don't think like that.
Those
but
are the geez. Lonely eclipse fever Taylor Swift sex robot people.
But she has the body of a little boy.
But you could shut her off. Imagine if you could power her down.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's just the joy of watching the light behind her eyes go out.
Kevin, you're so wrong when you say that. First of all, lots of women would love to have Taylor Swift's body, would love to have her body. She's very tall.
Because they're attracted to men, and they would like to
have her body in their bed. She's got a very cute figure. But I'm telling you what, the reason I'm surprised is because she is not at all a sex symbol. There's nothing about her that is sexy.
Nothing sexy about her.
Nothing sexy about her. And you know how much I love Taylor Swift. It's never been about that for me. It's not a creepy thing. I just admire her as an artist.
But
what I'm saying is,
murder the robot and not go to prison. I think a lot of people just like...
So you can live out a fantasy by killing Taylor Swift if you bought the robot.
Yeah.
Are the others obvious? Should we be getting them?
Yes, absolutely.
They're obvious. Okay.
There's a couple porn stars thrown in there, but other than that, these are all celebrities that you should be jumping at. In fact, Kevin, I cannot believe you don't have number 7 already. Just tripping off your tongue.
Number 7. Somebody that Kevin loves very much?
Yes. We all do. But
Angelina
especially.
Jolie.
No.
It's a good guess, though, Muggs.
Alessandra Ambrosio?
No. Kate Upton is number 7.
Kate Upton,
number 7.
Of course.
Japanese star Hitomi Tanaka is 6. Porn star Asia Akira is 5. And then the rest of the top 5, Jessica Alba.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Selena Gomez. And at number 2, I find this shocking.
Stanley.
Nope. Emma Watson.
Oh, interesting.
Emma Watson.
I mean, she's lovely.
Yes, but I don't...
Number 2, though.
Sex robot.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't think I'm getting the sex robot. Not until I get my Sofia Vergara edition. I want to collect them all, don't get me wrong, but I have an order of preference.
Ralph, is there a link or an email? Or is just
today's
a,
celebrity birthdays, Shawn Mendes is 19
years
old.
A URL or something I can...
Megan Good is 36.
Just double check.
J.C. Chazet is 41. The Edge of U2 is 56, and actor Dustin Hoffman is 80 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's Wednesday, so we have the Wheel of Bad Animal voices, which everybody's excited about. We're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network about Colin Kaepernick and what's going on with him. We do have to discuss eclipse fever, as Bean will not stop talking about it. And my ultimate foe, Susan Michaels, who is behind CatCon. Also, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.